The next case is Addy Honey Farms v. Monterey Mushrooms, 2022-2105. Mr. Gordon.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Adam Gordon from the Bristol Group, PLLC, appearing today on behalf of Monterey Mushrooms. This appeal involves two issues. The first, whether the plain language of the Continued Dumping and Subsidy Offset Act of 2000 requires Customs and Border Protection to distribute all interest, including delinquency interest, to affected domestic parties. It does. The second issue is whether plaintiff, my client, had noticed before July 2014 that CBP had decided unilaterally and contrary to both its statute and regulations to withhold delinquency interest from distribution. The answer to this is unequivocally no. I'd like to start with the statute. The plain language of the statute, which requires distribution of delinquency interest. In 2000, Congress passed the CDSOA, and includes three provisions that are of interest here. The first, and they need to be read in order. The first is 1675C subpart D, distribution of funds, requiring the commissioner, customs, saying they shall distribute all funds, including all interest earned on the funds from assessed duties received in the preceding fiscal year to affected domestic producers.
From assessed duties.
All funds from assessed duties.
From assessed duties.
Yes, Your Honor. Following that is a provision directing customs how to do this, saying requiring them to set up special accounts, requiring the commissioner saying they shall deposit into the special accounts all anti-dumping and countervailing duties, including interest earned on such duties, that are assessed after the effective date of this section under the anti-dumping order or finding or countervailing duty order with respect to which the account was created.
And isn't that at liquidation? And so isn't that where the two-year statute of limitations comes in?
Well, Your Honor, that doesn't say at liquidation. That says shall deposit into the special accounts all anti-dumping duties, including interest earned on such duties, and it is our position that delinquency interest is unquestionably earned on the duties when they're not paid within the 30 days following issuance of a bill from customs. I think it's also important to acknowledge or recognize the third provisions, 19 U.S.C. 1675 CE3, which gets to the heart of the authority given to customs, which is very limited. They are directed and authorized to provide the time and manner of distributions, and that says, consistent with the requirements of subsections C and D of this section, the commissioner shall by regulation prescribe the time and manner in which distributions of the funds in a special account shall be made. So to the extent there's any arguable uncertainty with respect to the terms of 1675 CE2, you have to read that together with the broad language of section 1675 CD, which directs the commissioner to distribute all funds, and that's broader than just the duties themselves, including all interest earned on the funds, which encompasses all types of interest, not simply 1677G interest on underpayments to the affected domestic parties.
I want to ask you a question about funds. I think it's interesting that one of the statutory provisions you talked to us about uses the word funds, and the other one says doesn't use the word funds. How are you interpreting funds? And I guess we have to say all funds from assessed duties would be the right language to focus on. How does funds differ from what's in these special accounts?
Well, I think funds is a broader phrase deliberately used by Congress in light of the context of providing expansive relief to the domestic industry where dumping or subsidization continues.
But what are funds compared to, you know, the amount of money in the special accounts? I don't think there's a difference between them. I want to know if you think there is a difference. You know, that it's...
No, I think funds connotes the duties plus the interest that arises from them.
Actually, it can't be funds. Yes, you're right. It includes the interest because the parenthetical says so.
Correct. And that interest is not limited to the...
I understand that's the issue. I'm just trying to understand the language, all funds, in 1675 D3, and then there's the language all anti-dumping or countervailing duties in the other provision, 1675CE1. And I'm reading them as being the same thing, and I want to see if you agree. It's setting the interest issue aside.
Well, I think they have to be read together, and that they would represent the same corpus.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's pursuant to 1675CE3, which refers back to both of the earlier provisions in when directing the commissioner to create regulations to prescribe merely the time and manner, not authority to interpret the statute, which is clear on its face.
Following up on a question that Judge Lurie asked, in your view, does assessment or duties assessed necessarily refer to assessment occurring at the time of liquidation?
Well, Your Honor, duties are assessed at the time of liquidation, but the amount of duties is fixed then, but the amount of interest, especially delinquency interest, will continue. The amount of interest will continue to accrue, and then the final amount of interest that is owed won't be known until payment is made for the delinquency. And that's a function of, in this case, it's a function of the amount of the duties that are fixed at liquidation. So it is our position that both the agency and the trial court rendered incorrect analyses of the statute to conclude that it was ambiguous and that did not require the distribution of delinquency interest. To reach the conclusion that they had, it requires reading the statute out of order. It ignores the plain language of the text, and it requires reading the word all out of the statute, which is impermissible. And it requires distorting the text in a way past reasonable bounds of interpretation, particularly where the text is as clear as it is here.
Do you know, and this might be a question better for the government, but do you know how often delinquency interest is assessed?
Well, the broader answer, in terms of, honestly, the sort of frequency with which this occurs, we don't know. And partly that's because we've never been able to get an actual number from Customs concerning the amount of delinquency interest at issue in these cases.
Do you know if the percentage for the delinquency interest is the same as the percentage for the other kind of interest, which is indisputably part of the agreed to by the parties to be included in the special fund?
We don't know, Your Honor. We don't know, and I'd be very interested to hear more from opposing counsel about that.
To the extent we do reach the legislative history, does any of it mention delinquency interest?
No, Congress, like Customs, in its notice of proposed rulemaking and in its final rules, didn't discuss delinquency versus Section 1677G interest at all. And in fact, it's worth noting that in the notice of proposed rulemaking and in the final rule in the proposed regulations themselves and in the final regulation, all they refer to in a section that actually has nothing to do with this type of interest, they refer to statutory interest. In fact, it's worth noting that, as you would expect, this statute received an intense amount of interest and scrutiny when it arose. After the notice of proposed rulemaking was issued, there were 40 sets of comments filed addressing the proposed regulations, not a single one addressed either 1677G interest or 1505D interest. The only comment made was with respect to whether the special accounts and clearing accounts themselves would be interest bearing. And that's something Customs spoke to, both comments in the notice of proposed rulemaking and in the commentary to the final rule. And it bears noting the chronology of events here. At the time, when Customs...
They do make clear in that section, though, that they don't think the delinquency interest will be included, or maybe I should state that better. They make it clear that the only interest that they think is going to be included is the 1677G interest, right?
Well,
I agree. It's not in a section titled interest. It's in a different section, but
yeah, it is in a section titled interest on the question of whether the special accounts and clearing accounts themselves would bear interest. And the answer was no, because Congress hadn't authorized that. But I think that phrase you just quoted is very important to understand in the context in which it was offered. This is responding to the question of whether, as I said, the special accounts, the accounts themselves would bear interest. And it's important to note that in responding to that, in the final rule, Customs specifically refers back to what it said in the notice of proposed rulemaking, saying, as previously explained in the notice of proposed rulemaking, funds in government accounts are not interest-bearing unless specified by Congress. So when it says, thus, only interest charged on anti-dumping and countervailing duty funds themselves, that's referring to interest before they're placed in the special accounts, not to the interest that accrues on the funds themselves, whether it's 1677G interest or 1505D interest. And I think it's very important to note the reference back to the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, which says, there it says, in their own comment on this, if there is interest paid by any importer on any anti-dumping or countervailing duties billed during the liquidation process for the import entries, that interest will be transferred to the clearing account or the special account as appropriate. And we know from the record that at the time Customs published that comment, it was intending to distribute the 1505D interest. Only after that did it make a change in its position, but it never revealed that to the public until, in our case, until 2014. We had no idea that it was withholding delinquency interest.
So looking at the briefing, it was unclear to me whether or not it was ever publicly made known that that was the position, that the Section 1505D interest would be distributed. Was that public or was that internal in terms of that being the position?
Well, the position is only shown in the record in an internal CBP document, and that was never known publicly. Our client didn't learn of it until July of 2014 in the context of private conversations with the agency related to a failure to distribute the full amount of a settlement in a litigation. Other parties learned of it through either through a report to Congress in 2015 or through a very brief comment in one of their Federal Register notices published in 2016. And until that time, I'll tell you, I might be the only person appearing before the court on this issue today who's had experience with the CDSOA from its inception. Not a single person thought that this was how it was being administered because
Actually,
it was so
clear.
You wanted
to save 6 minutes, you're down to three.
Oh, well, then I'll stop there, Your Honor.
Continue or, right?
With apologies. Thank you for the indulgence.
Ms. Farrell.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Your Honors, this case is about a statute. It is statutory construction, statutory analysis. What Customs did in the administrative record, of course, can never contravene the terms of the statute. And what's very interesting about this particular statute is that the ADPs would have this court parse out the word all. But the word all, remarkably, doesn't show up everywhere. And what we have here is, and you've been told that the ADPs would like you to follow the statute in order. You have to follow the statute in order. But that doesn't make any sense because the distribution of funds relies on the monies that go into the special accounts first. So it's a chicken and egg story. You have to go to the special accounts first to find out what it was that Congress intended to go into those accounts, because it is from those accounts that the distributions will be made.
So and you're interesting, saying we should read 1675E1, which tells you deposit into accounts, and then you read 1675D3, which tells you to distribute.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but what language are you relying on specifically in 1675CE1 saying when it says, you know, even if I guess because it doesn't have all in it, but what work do you think all is doing in these statutes, or at least in 1675CD3?
Right, Your Honor. In the distribution statute, that's the only time we see the phrase all interest. And it says, as Your Honor noted earlier, all interest earned on the funds. And it's also interesting, we have in the section with respect to the deposits into accounts, it is, there's no use of the word funds. It's duties. So we've gone from the word duties to the word funds, as Your Honor was noting earlier. Well, what is going on there? if we go back to how things work, as an entry comes in, if it's a, you know, a an anti-dumping countervailing is applicable, when it's assessed, for the most part, if all goes well, nothing else should happen. There should have been a deposit perfectly, bang on, and that money rolls into the special account. But then there are two other options that could occur. There could have been an under-deposit of the amount of money, because whatever comes out of commerce, oh, whoops, the rate was higher, sorry, your best interest, but you tried, but you failed. So that means interest is running. It's statutory interest, because and the only statutory interest that runs on under deposits is 1677G. The other scenario could be an over deposit. Someone, you know, decided, oh, well, it's too much, or they used an earlier rate and they got a better rate out of commerce this time around. So they get interest back. So when we're looking at what's going into the accounts, one of those three things is happening. Perfect money with no interest, because they got it right. Under deposits, requiring interest. And then there's other interest. The interest that would go back to the importer. And it's interesting.
Your best response to the opposing counsel's argument that it's all interest. At least that's what's identified.
But indeed, at the first stage of where the all interest subsequently is going to be distributed to me, the ADP, prior to that, I've got to go into an account. So what's going into the account? I can't give you what's not there. So the account, the roll into the account is what is setting us up. And we're being told it's what is duties that are assessed. And we understand that to be liquidation. So what is the only interest that occurs at liquidation? In the context of an ADD or CVD order, it is 1677G interest. It cannot, per force, it is impossible at liquidation for 1505D delinquency interest to be in play. It's not possible.
Can I back up for a minute? I think that you're relying on, when you say you're relying on the language that are assessed, meaning that we're looking at liquidation, and then it's not just any duties, it's all anti-dumping or countervailing duties under the anti-dumping order or finding or the countervailing duty order, right?
Yes, sure.
And so you're finding that all that language is modifying the word duties, because it says interest earned on such duties.
Exactly, Your Honor, to relate with the use of the such duties relates you right back to the duties that have been assessed under the anti-dumping or and or countervailing and or finding under.
And as I understand the government's position, that does not include delinquency interest, because delinquency interest would be on the duties that were assessed, the duties, the interest, and any fees or other, I don't know, what else could it be?
It can be 1505D requires someone not to pay after they've been requested.
Yes,
yeah,
so
by
they
customs.
Don't pay within 30 days.
Which obviously is delinquency. So it's an interesting thing about the use of the word earned, because we think about if you place money in a bank, you earn interest on your deposits. But if you are late on your credit card payment to that same bank, you're going to be hit with interest. You're not earning interest. It's the time value of money that the bank is recovering from you when you're late. But here
counsel,
it's talking about earned.
Counsel, if you're right about delinquency interest, where does it go?
Delinquency interest under a longstanding regulation from Customs, which occurred prior to the enactment of the CDSOA, and which is consistent with what every logical person who's ever dealt with a mortgage or a credit card bill or any other kind of bill, if you are late, the first thing that gets paid is interest. So under a regulation from Customs.
Yes, but 1677G interest gets paid back, right? Then why would delinquency interest not be paid back?
Because the statute doesn't call for the delinquency interest to go to the ADPs, because it's not present here. Because what is going
so
into...
Their view is that it says it shall distribute all funds, including all interest earned on the funds, from assessed duties. Why isn't delinquency interest an interest earned on the fund?
Because what is being what's in the distribution of funds is what goes into these special accounts. And if it were a late payment under the regulations, delinquency interest doesn't go into those accounts. But if we go back to the accounts, the plain language talks about...
Wait. You're saying that all interest doesn't include delinquency interest because delinquency interest doesn't go in the fund.
Because the plain language of the statute of what rolls into the special accounts, which then become the distributed funds later,
What about it says shall distribute all funds, including all interest earned on the funds? And so even if it's not in the fund, but it's an interest earned on the fund, why wouldn't it be provided?
Because
and
I think
there's an answer to this that's in the statute. I don't know why you're not giving it. I mean, I don't know that I agree with the answer, but there's an answer.
Well, it's earned on the funds, and it goes right back to the same statute earlier, which is earned on the funds when they're assessed. And 1505D interest is not earned on the funds for two purposes. One, 1505D runs after a liquidation. And at the time of liquidation, as Your Honor is referencing, you would have anti-dumping potentially, countervailing potentially. You'd have that interest, 1677G. You'd also have, perhaps, regular duties if these are not a zero rating.
Does the interpretation essentially have a temporal component in terms of being at the time of liquidation? I'm trying to make
understand
your interpretation.
Yes, exactly right, Your Honor. The analysis from our perspective is that when this language is used, very special language, it talks about duties that are assessed. This court has said in Norse that assessed and liquidation are synonymous with one another. Assessing duties means liquidation. There can't be anything else when you're assessing duties. So at the time you're assessing duties, what interest is the only interest available? 1677G. And so at that point, that's what's being deposited in the accounts. The distribution of funds doesn't get into all the other things that occur afterwards. The distribution of funds is just what funds are being distributed? It is the duties, and it's each entry. So when we're talking about, why would Congress use all funds here and duties there? Because assessment is occurring at liquidation, and what is liquidated is an entry. So that now, once it's liquidated, we have a res. We have the amount of money that's due and its interest if it was an underpayment. And with the overpayment, I think the overpayments help explain why the word all funds.
I haven't heard the words 2-year statute of limitation in your argument. That's ultimately what this is about. 2 years after the cause of action first accrues.
Yes, Your Honor.
And your view is that accrues at liquidation?
Well, the cause of action here, which was really complained about is we should not have any reduction by 1505D if there's a late payment. There are two simultaneous things occurring here. There is the issue of when did you all have notice? You had notice when the final notice went into the Federal Register notice, and you had asked questions about, well, what kind of interest? It's interesting.
When the final rule, is that what you're getting at?
The final rule, yes, Your Honor. And it's kind of interesting because when we look at the final rule, the ADPs who were asking questions, they're part of the comments that are reflected in the final rule, they ask, well, if somebody overpaid and you give back interest to them because they earned interest on the overpaid deposit, will that be taken away from us? And Customs says no. Because the ADPs are observing the fact, this is an implicit acknowledgement by the commenters that the interest that is in play for these accounts is 1677G. Has to be. That's why they asked that question. Oh, you're not going to diminish our funds by the amount you paid back to another importer, right? Because they over-deposited? And Customs is like, that's correct. You're going to get to keep that. Don't worry. That, I believe, is why the language of all funds on interests earned, that they're you're not allowing that interest to be because there are multiple entries that went in and made up the whole bucket of funds, you're not allowing a payment of interest to an importer to then affect these other entries that actually had interest due and owing under 1677G. So you're not doing a set-off against an entirely different entry. I think that's what's...
that we need to reach the time bar issue if we agree that delinquency interest is excluded.
If we agree that delinquency interest is excluded, I don't think that we need... Well, I mean, I think we still need to reach the time bar simply because you should always, you should enforce the rights that are available, and jurisdiction would not reach back to 2000 and 2001.
In other words, only delinquency interest is at issue here?
Well, I mean, arguably, TIFTI, which is the subsequent amendment to the CDSOA, said, well, we're going to give you all interest, which is one of the reasons why I think if we look at the plain language and we look at the fact that Congress, through TIFTI, amends...
How about answering my question? My question, is only delinquency interest at stake here?
Your Honor, if my understanding would be only delinquency interest would be at stake here because it would be... the enactment of TIFTI going back 2 years, this would not affect... They're already within the time zone where they would get every form of interest. They would get 1677G, 1505D, 580 if the U.S. government brings a lawsuit, and if a court decides to provide equitable interest, you'll get that
too. I thought there was interest that is not delinquency interest, but is barred by the 2-year statute of limitations. And then there is delinquency interest, which is simply not covered by the statute to be paid back.
Yes, Your Honor. It would be the 1677G interest and the 1505D interest, and it would be barred by the statute of limitations. So it would only relate back 2 years from when, because these are as applied, each distribution essentially becomes a new world, which is why the last 2 years can actually be heard.
But the parties here aren't claiming that they didn't get 1677G interest, right?
Your Honor, I don't know that that's... I think the primary focus is just the delinquency interest. They don't make a claim that they thought they weren't getting 1677.
Well, in about 7 seconds, we're going to find out.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yes, Your Honor. I just wanted
to ask the question, which is, how often is delinquency interest assessed, and at what rate compared to the rate? Is it the same rate that is the rate for the 1677G interest?
The delinquency interest in the 1677G, I believe, do run at the same rate. I think they use the IRS rate, so that would be the same. But with respect to how much delinquency interest, I'm not entirely sure. I will say this. We know that Congress decided to pass TIFTI because when importers were not paying, there was a kind of a rash of importers dump and run, and there was a bond in lieu back then, so you didn't even have deposits. You have to go out, the government has to go out and collect the amount that should have been deposited, but because there was a new shipper, this court I know is aware of the new shipper basis where you could use a bond in lieu of paying anything. Those cases took a while to work up.
I think you're off the track and you're out of time. So let's hear from rebuttal from Mr. Gordon.
Your Honor, just a couple of quick points. Firstly, I was surprised to hear, or not to hear, why TIFTIA was actually passed. The relevant portion of TIFTIA was passed by Congress in reaction to its understanding that Customs was failing to distribute all interest as the statute requires.
Is this case only about delinquency interest?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. I want to pick up on one point, the opposing counsel's focus on the phrase assessed duties in 1675 CD in the distribution of funds portion. opposing counsel is trying to assign that a role as temporally limiting exactly what duties or what duties and interests would be distributed. I think it's important to understand that the special accounts and the clearing accounts involve two different kinds of duties. On the one hand, the clearing accounts involve estimated duties. On the other hand, the special accounts involve assessed duties. Estimated duties are deposited. They can go up, they can go down, depending on the results of a commerce review. You don't know the final fixed amount until liquidation when they are assessed duties. It's not a temporal limitation. It needs to be read together with the phrase, all funds without limitation. I will say that with respect to the language in this statute, Congress knew full well what's involved in the Tariff Act of 1930. If Congress intended to limit the kinds of interest that were to be paid, it would have done so here by referring specifically to perhaps 1677G interest alone or 1505D interest by itself.
Counsel, was Chevron possibly on the chopping block? Are you relying on Chevron at all?
Am I what?
Are you relying on Chevron deference at all? What is your view on Chevron?
I think the language of the statute is abundantly clear. You don't need to get to Chevron analysis here. But if you do, the agency's reading or implementation, if you will, of the statute is out of bounds. They didn't interpret the statute at all. If you look at the record, the only reason that they declined to distribute delinquency interest is in the record, and it wasn't actually stated on the record until 2021, is that they had what they refer to euphemistically as a technological limitation that prevented them from assigning Section 1505D interest. They apparently didn't realize that until after they had already said it's the position of the agency that we will look for ways to assign the 1505D interest to the relevant orders. Not whether they would, but how. So let me just say in closing, if you will, that this appeal is about more than an uncertain amount of money or appealed statute. This speaks to fundamental principles of administrative law, fidelity to the obvious and clear language of a statute, transparency in agency action, accountability for what the agency actually did and why, reviewing an agency's actions based on what actually occurred, and giving notice of critical decisions. I would respectfully submit to this court that affirming this decision would signal to agencies within this court's jurisdiction at least that they can issue regulations that pay lip service to a statute, but then do whatever they want without telling anyone for at least 14 years.
Sounds terrible.
I agree. And we feel that this court should not condone that kind of administrative mischief. So we would respectfully submit that the court should reverse and remand for judgment in plaintiff's favor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.